What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, it's official. The Dallas Mavericks are going to have the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft this year. The draft lottery was just held right before I started recording, and it was announced that it's the Mavericks. So at least they have that to be happy about. We'll see what it looks like. They're probably going to end up drafting Cooper Flagg. That seems to be the consensus that everybody who was going after the number one pick was going to go after him. But at the same time, we're going to have to see how that career plays out, because trying to replace Luka is going to be a difficult task for the Dallas Mavericks to do. But hey, here you go. You've got the first overall pick upcoming in the draft, and we'll see what happens there. But they needed some good news for the Dallas Mavericks. So there they go. On to some better basketball teams that are actually still playing basketball. We have the conference semifinals still going on. And so let's recap what happened over the weekend, beginning with the probably one of the most surprising matchups so far between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers. Now, the Pacers have pretty much dominated three of the four games in this one, and it hasn't been close in those three wins either. Actually, all four games have been pretty much blowouts. I mean, Friday night, the Cavaliers actually looked like they got back on track a slight bit. They did get the win 126-104. Donovan Mitchell went off, 43 points, 9 rebounds. Jarrett Allen had a double-double with 19 points and 12 rebounds. But you could tell that Darius Garland's injury is still bothering him. He did come back, but he was not his typical self. And then on Sunday, the Pacers played the same ball that they've been playing this entire series, and that is kill the Cavaliers and just play excellent team basketball. Pacers dominated the Cavaliers yesterday, 129-109. Pascal Siakam had 21 points. Turner had 20 points. Obi Toppin had 20 points. It was just an all-around excellent team game. And that's what I mean from the Pacers. When you've got multiple dudes scoring not only double digits but 20-plus points, that is excellent team basketball, and that's just what they're doing to the Cavaliers. Now, these injuries are piling up on the Cavaliers because now that they got Garland back, and even in both of those games, he did not look like himself. Now Donovan Mitchell is hurt. He injured his ankle, and he missed the majority of the past game, and he has a game-time decision for Game 5, which is on Tuesday nights, and the Pacers could end up doing a gentleman's sweep out on the Cleveland Cavaliers on Tuesday, because they are up 3-1 right now. And it has just been crazy to see the Cavaliers on the brink, because, you know, they've been dominating all season long. But like I said, before the playoffs began, I kind of had my questions about both the Thunder and the Cavaliers heading into the playoffs. I didn't really believe in either of them as champions. They were going to have to prove it to me. And so far, of course, Oklahoma City, they are proving it to me, but the Cavaliers are not. And it looks like the Cavaliers could end up losing. And if there's no Donovan Mitchell playing in Game 5, I'm pretty sure they're going to be headed on out in the next game. But we'll see what happens in Game 5 on Tuesday night. Then in the one of the best matchups. There are two really solid matchups here. This one actually has been probably the better of the two, because the majority of the games have been pretty close. And this one's between the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday night. The Denver Nuggets took it overtime, got the win 113-104, and I mean, they really took it in overtime. This was just a crazy game. Oklahoma City pretty much felt like they had the upper hand for the most part, and then Denver just really started to put it together in the second half of the game. And Jokic, he went had 20 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists. Now, those are dominating numbers, but Jokic has actually been not playing his best basketball, if you will, and even he has said that. He isn't really playing that well, but still, he's getting those numbers, and it really comes down to somebody else needs to step it up. And in this game on Friday, the guys who stepped it up were both Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. They both had 20-plus points, and that's what's got to happen for the Denver Nuggets if they want to have a shot in this series, because on Sunday, Oklahoma City got the win 92-87. SGA had 25 points, and for the most part, Oklahoma City was in the driver's seat for the majority of this game. Denver tried to make a little comeback there towards the end, but Oklahoma City just kept knocking down the shots when they needed to, and they started to slowly pull away, and you could just tell towards the end of the game this was Oklahoma City's night. And so now the series is tied, heading into Game 5 on Tuesday night. So like I said, this one has definitely been the best series I think so far, just as far as, you know, for the most part, these games have been back and forth, and they've come down to the wire, and hell, we've even gotten overtime in a couple of these games. So we're getting some great basketball from both of these teams right now, and we'll see what happens on game five. Then between the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks, the Celtics finally got on track in this one. They were able to not only go up 20-plus points on the Knicks in this one, but also not choke away that lead. They did not lose that lead at all. As a matter of fact, this game started out exactly as all the other games have started out. It's just the Knicks weren't, they went cold in this one. Boston got the win 115-93. Jason Tatum had 22 points. Jaylen Brown had 19 points. Pritchard had 23 points. This was an excellent team game from the Boston Celtics, and they just really handled the Knicks in this one. Game four is Monday night, and the Knicks are up 2-1 on this series, but they got to learn how to get going in these games, because being down 20 is going to catch up to you, as it did in this last game. So you're going to need to actually really step it up if you're going to take this series. I mean, talk about chokes. How shitty would it be if the Knicks go up, you know, they're up 2-1, they started out 2-0, and they came had these great comebacks, and it's like they're up 2-0 on the Celtics, and they end up losing. We'll see what happens with the Knicks in this in game four. But they definitely got to come right out the gate and actually start scoring and not be down by 20 points at some point in the game. They actually got to make it a close matchup. And then the last series we have in the conference semifinals, on Saturday, we had the matchup between the Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors. And this one was all Minnesota all night. They got the win 102-97. Score was pretty close, but like I said, Minnesota pretty much controlled the majority of this game. Anthony Edwards had 36 points, but the dude in this one was Julius Randle. As I said, this guy has been a monster all season on the court, but in these playoffs, he has been a monster, and in this game, he had a triple-double, 24 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. He has been huge on the defensive side of the ball. He has been huge on offensive rebounds. In the paint, he's been just such a force for this Timberwolves team. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, they should win this series easily. Game four is Monday night, and Minnesota is up 2-1 in this series. And Golden State, Steph Curry, his injury, obviously he's not going to be back for game four. And, you know, who knows about game five for sure. But Julius Randle, even with Steph Curry playing in the game, Julius Randle plays at this high level. He is exactly what Anthony Edwards needs on the court with him, because Ant can't do it all. And when you got a dude like Randle, who's not only getting points, but getting shit done in the paint, he's doing the dirty work and getting triple doubles and just being everywhere on the court. Yeah, you got to watch out with this Minnesota Timberwolves team if Randle keeps playing at this level that he's playing. All right, so moving on to the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of movement in this week's power rankings. It's pretty much the usual suspects. Definitely at the top, a couple of teams have moved up, a couple of teams have moved down, but we're pretty much talking about the same teams this week. Beginning with number one remains the Los Angeles Dodgers. Their overall record right now is 27-14, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins and split the series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And Teoscar Hernandez, he is their next guy who has joined the injured list club. But they have so much depth, it still does not matter. It still does not affect the Dodgers because they're playing fantastic baseball right now. Shohei Ohtani's batting a .308 with 12 home runs on the season and 21 RBI. Freddie Freeman has had a great couple of weeks himself. Right now, he's got 9 home runs and 33 RBI on the season. As a matter of fact, he was a huge part of winning a couple of games over the weekend as well. Then moving on to number two on our top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets. Overall record of 26-15. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Chicago Cubs. And they are doing all this without Juan Soto playing Juan Soto baseball. He is still inconsistent as hell. He just had a pretty down weekend after coming off of a pretty high week. So he still has not found his footing, but Pete Alonso still continues to be hot. He's batting a .320 with 9 home runs and 34 RBI. But the Mets are really getting it done with the pitching. And Griffin Canning, he is having a phenomenal year with 5 wins on the season, a .236 ERA, and 42 strikeouts. And it just kind of feels like every single week I'm talking about a new pitcher with this Mets team because they are really mowing everybody down with their pitching. They are getting it done offensively, but this pitching is just taking care of business from starting pitcher to the bullpen all the way down to the closer. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 26-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies. And by take the series, I mean kicked their ass into oblivion and pretty much helped the Rockies make the decision to go ahead and shit can their coach or their manager to, you know, to start the season. We're at, on May 12th and they've already canned their coach, but or their manager. They're the worst team in the league, and they are just consistently getting their asses beat, and Detroit was part of that reason. But they also lost the series to the Texas Rangers. Unfortunately, they lost Casey Mize to the injured list, so he's going to be on there, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a major injury. It just kind of looks like it's going to be a couple of weeks, and then he should be back. Riley Green has had a huge year so far. He's batting a .257 with 9 home run and 22 RBI. And this Detroit Tigers team is really just getting a lot of offense going here. But that's pretty easy to do against the Colorado Rockies this season. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 25-14. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the New York Yankees, but also demolished the Colorado Rockies. As a matter of fact, they were what really got the manager fired. The Rockies have pretty much been getting reamed in each and every game. And as a matter of fact, the Padres kicked their ass 21-0 over the weekend. Yeah. 21-0. That was a baseball game. Sometimes that's a football game. 21-0, San Diego Padres over the Colorado Rockies. That is how horribly bad the Rockies are this year. But the Padres are the exact opposite. Manny Machado has been lit on fire. I mean, he's usually a very reliable dude, but it seems to, over these past couple of seasons, it kind of feels like he's had to take the first couple of months to just get going, and then he lights it up the second half of the season. Well, so far, he's starting off the season right. He's batting a .324, 3 home runs, 20 RBI. The thing about him is he's just getting on base and really making some big moves for this Padres team on the offensive side of the ball. They also got Jackson Merrill back. So he's made some big plays since he came back from the injured list. They also had a rookie starting pitcher this week who they just brought up, and he took a no-hitter, I believe, into the seventh or eighth inning in his first game. So their pitching is also getting it done, even the dudes who they're just calling up as rookies. So the Padres overall playing excellent baseball. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 23-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Diego Padres and the Sacramento A's, and they are lighting it up offensively themselves. As a matter of fact, right now, they lead the league runs with 235 runs, and they are just they are unstoppable when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. It's just, Their bullpen is exceptionally shaky, especially the closer position. But one guy who is not shaky is Aaron Judge, who literally leads the league in just about every single hitting category you possibly can lead the league in. Right now, he is batting a .409. That is right, a .409. We are a month and a half into baseball, and he is batting a .409. Once again, leads the league with 14 home runs and 39 RBI on the season. And I just keep saying it. It doesn't even matter about the home runs anymore. He is becoming a threat by just getting on base, by hitting triples and singles and doubles and just making sure every at-bat counts. And Aaron Judge is doing it. It's very early to be having this discussion, but he is well on his way to yet another MVP season. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is slowly moving up, that is the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 24-16. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cleveland Guardians. And Kyle Schwarber is also having a monster year. He is actually tied for the league lead in home runs with Aaron Judge with 14 home runs. He's got 32 RBI. He's only one RBI behind six RBI behind Aaron Judge in that category. And then he's also batting a .269, which is really solid for Schwarber because, as I've mentioned, Schwarber is always known for the home runs and the RBI, but his batting average sometimes is very suspect, usually in the low 200s. But this year, it kind of feels like he's doing the same thing that Aaron Judge is getting on base when you need to and not just focusing on the home runs, even though pretty much every time Schwarber comes up to bat, you're pretty much expecting the dude to smash it out of the park. And, I mean, overall, the Philadelphia Phillies are starting to really get rolling. Starting pitching is starting to look very solid. Their closer looks good. The rest of their bullpen looks really, really good. Trey Turner's starting to play really solid baseball. Bryce Harper's starting to play really solid baseball, and it just kind of feels like the Philadelphia Phillies are now starting to put it together and develop as a team I expected them to be. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Francisco Giants. Overall record of 24-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago Cubs and lost the series to the Minnesota Twins. As a matter of fact, got swept in that series. Biggest issue with the Giants is definitely the closer role. Overall, bullpen is not terrible, but the closer has just been a huge issue basically from day one. We're either winning these close games in the end or losing these close games in the end. It's pretty much a heart stopper of a season as a Giants fan this year because there have been so many walk-offs in both directions. It's been crazy. But part of that is because the Giants bullpen is pretty terrible, especially at giving up runs. And they keep changing back and forth who the closer is, and it just they have not worked that position out very well, and I feel like it's going to be the downfall of them at some point in the season. And they definitely slipped a few spots this week on the top 10, and that's part of the reason why. The starting pitching is not a problem. As a matter of fact, it kind of feels like when they take the starting pitcher out, that's the problem. One guy who is having no issues and who's just come out of nowhere having a fantastic year is Robbie Ray. It feels like every time he's in pitching, the Giants end up getting the win. He's got 5 wins on the season, a 2.84 ERA, and 46 strikeouts. Behind Logan Webb, there's a bunch of solid starting pitchers, but this bullpen is very, very sketch. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 23-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Washington Nationals. But lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies. Stephen Kwan, very reliable as always, batting a 331, so he is getting on base like he normally does. 17 RBI on the season, so he's been the most consistent bright light on the Cleveland Guardians. Other than that, I can't believe that I'm even talking about them because they don't really have a lot of standouts. They don't even really lead in any categories. Their starting pitching is pretty terrible. I mean, it's obviously not Colorado Rockies terrible, but, you look at them and you go, wow, what is going on here? But yeah, here they are. They're still in the thick of things. And, I put them, they've been in the top 10 a good chunk of the season. It's just typical Cleveland Guardians baseball. They just are always there hovering. They're always there winning. And we don't know why, but whoop, there it is. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 22-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Sacramento A's and lost the series to the Toronto Blue Jays. As a matter of fact, they got swept in that one. They just did not look good in that series. But, I mean, overall, the Seattle Mariners have been playing really solid baseball, and especially at the starting pitching position, actually from top to bottom. I mean, they've got probably the best closer in the league right now, and it looks like they're going to be getting George Kirby back here any day. So they're going to be getting even more stacked at the starting pitcher position. And now all of their core guys on the offensive side of the ball, they've been making some really solid defensive plays as well. They're really putting it together and starting to play some really solid team baseball. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to keep it up as the season wears on. But they are playing some heavy hitter baseball up in Seattle right now. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 23-18. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the San Francisco Giants and lost the series to the New York Mets. Just a down week for the Cubs. As a matter of fact, they kind of had a difficulty scoring, which has not been a problem for them for the entire season. As a matter of fact, they've pretty much led the league in runs up until the last couple of weeks. But for the most part, the Cubs have been lighting it up. But at the same time, they have suffered a lot of injuries at the pitching position, and maybe that's going to catch up to them at this point. But You know, their rookie PCA, he's been having a solid year, batting a .264 with 10 home runs and 28 RBI. And, I mean, he's been making some solid plays, just some game winners and just getting on base when he needs to, hitting home runs out of the park. And nobody really expected this guy to come out, you know, really to be anything. And here he is just lighting it up and pretty much making the big moves for a Chicago Cubs team that has a lot of offense. But he is also just been a very clutch player and just came out of nowhere for the Cubs. But very odd week for the Cubs here, but it's probably just a week and they're probably going to get right back at it. But who knows? Could be the starting pitching injuries are finally catching up, and we'll see what happens there with the Cubs and their injuries at the starting pitching position. All right, y'all, that is today's show and the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.